The Reedy Planning Commission regular meeting on this date, Thursday, March 15, 2018, is now in session. Commissioner Bersalas, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And as the roll call will bear us out, we have two commissioners that are absent today. However, three commissioners constitutes a quorum, so we're ready for business.
Commissioner Bersalas.
Here.
Commissioner Bissett. Chairperson.
Commissioner Bissett is excused, as is Chairman.
As is Commissioner Custodio. Commissioner Hudson.
Here.
Chairperson Perez.
Here. Thank you. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the commission on each item that is brought up for discussion. We will note that we opened the public comment and there are none, so we close the public comment portion. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda if you choose to remove anything or not?
Just to approve the consent agenda?
Right,
or to
which is includes the minutes also.
Okay. I do move to approve.
May I have a second?
I'll second.
May I have a roll, please?
Yes.
Commissioner Bersalas?
Yes.
Chairperson Perez?
Yes. Okay, consideration of environmental assessment number 2018-4, invested tentative parcel map application number 2017-1. It is a recommendation that the staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. Approve the environmental assessment number 2018-4, determining the vesting tentative parcel map application number 2017-1 is exempt from CEQA and pursuant to the sections 153.15 and 153.32 of the CEQA guidelines. B, approve the vesting tentative parcel map application number 2017-1, requesting authorization to subdivide one parcel into two parcels of land for single-family residential purposes located on the west side of South Frankwood Avenue, north of the intersection of South Frankwood Avenue and West Lilac Avenue. So, with that said, I will turn it over to Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Chairperson. The vesting tentative parcel map application 2017-1 is what is on the agenda this evening. This is located in the southern portion of town. The cross sections are Frankwood and Lilac, but the property is actually located just north of our most recent single family home new construction. So this is right next, the homes that were built are right next to the city limits, and so then there was a remainder parcel, and that's what this project location is. It's about 0.91 gross acres, and I bring up the name remainder lot, so the 12 lots that are right below it were, that was a tentative subdivision map that was done in 2006. It was finaled. It actually wasn't approved or constructed until recently, until a few years ago. But what some subdividers can do is you have a full lot and you can parcel out that lot, but there can still be a piece of the original lot that doesn't have to be developed or it can't be sold or anything. And so that's what a remainder piece is. So this remainder is essentially the remainder of the original lot that is where the rest of it has been subdivided. So that's why, as you can see on the aerial image, their sidewalk wasn't constructed along the east and west property lines. The street wasn't dedicated. So that can all be deferred until that actual parcel is developed or subdivided again. And so where we are this evening is the property owner wants to subdivide the parcel now. So now they're going to construct the streets, make the appropriate dedications, and build two single-family homes on there. So it has been it's a remainder, so it's also been kind of a bypassed parcel because it's been vacant for a while, and it is considered infill development. The general plan designation is low density residential, which is very similar to the surroundings. And the that's supposed to be green, but it looks yellow on there. But it is R1 SP, which is one family residential, under the specific plan. So a note there is that the specific plan has since been incorporated into the general plan. The zoning still exists, but you would go through the same regulations as you would a typical single family home. So the proposed lots for the tentative parcel map meet the lot and area requirements for that zone district. And I did want to just point out that the zoning ordinance only has minimum lot sizes. It does not have maximum lot sizes. So this is the remainder piece. I think it's a little over 100 feet in depth, and then it is a fairly narrow parcel. But the proposal is to split this lot into two different lots. So the lot size would be 19,848 square feet each. So just showing the image on there, it's going to be split right down the middle, so there's only going to be two parcels. And I'm sure that the intent was that this could continue to be the single family lots, you know, minimum lot size 6,000, but as you could probably tell, there's no room for another street there. So the intent is to have these two lots with the two houses built that face Serrier and face Frankwood Avenue. So that's kind of what it would look like there. As we do with every tentative map, we go over consistency and make sure that it's consistent with our general plan zoning ordinance and the Subdivision Map Act. So staff has determined that it is consistent with all of these and that the tentative parcel map can be approved. So that goes into, as I mentioned, consistency with the general plan, zoning ordinance, that the site is physically suitable for that type of development, and that the density is suitable for the type of development, that it's not likely to cause significant environmental effects, that the improvements are not likely to cause health problems, they're not going to affect any easements because no easements exist on the property, the tentative map meets or performs requirements imposed by conditions imposed by the subdivision map, which we have in the packet for you. And since these are large lots, we don't see any issues for future passive or natural heating or cooling opportunities. Going over a few conditions of approval, for the lot that would be fronting onto Frankwood Avenue. So there are some concerns there about access to and from that property. So one of the required conditions is that this lot have a circular driveway on it so that there won't be anybody living there that would back out onto Frankwood Avenue. So all the cars would be, you know, driving onto it, you know, in the appropriate direction. So that would be a covenant recorded on the property. So if the property is sold, that will be something that will come up, because the circular driveway doesn't have to be constructed when the improvements or the sidewalk is constructed. But it's still going to be a requirement on the property. It'll you might not see it until later, until after it sells probably. And then the other requirement is that the streets be completely constructed. So Serrier would have the sidewalk, curb and gutter, and then Frankwood Avenue would have, it would still have the 20-foot landscape buffer and the meandering sidewalk that is to the south of the property where the newer lilac homes are built. So that would be continued. And then as far as the fencing, there would be wooden fences surrounding it. The block wall that's along Frankwood would not be extended into this property right here because of setback issues. So just as a note there, the landscape buffer will still be there and the two drive approaches will be there. There won't be a block wall there at this time. Staff has determined that the project is exempt from CEQA based on minor land divisions and the infill development project sections. It's a small project, less than 5 acres, so staff didn't see any potential effects there. As far as public noticing, we published a notice in the Exponent on March 1st, and we also mailed a notice to property owners on March 1st, and we haven't received any comments at this time. Nobody came in and asked about it. So staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment and approve vesting tentative parcel map application number 2017-1. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Commissioners, any concerns or questions for staff? And I may note that there's nobody from representing the developer. He couldn't be here, and I understand that the parcel map engineer also couldn't be here. So.
That's correct. Yeah, they did call to let me know prior to the meeting that they had some time constraints and car trouble, so they wouldn't be able to make it this tonight.
This project meets all the requirements. I can see and read them up. But I've never faced one like this. It's unusual.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting sized lot, and it's large lots around smaller lots. But yeah, it met all the requirements, and it was, we're providing a different variety of housing with this one. It is different, but
they
still
could, they could have if they wanted to go the 6,000 square foot lots.
They did have some constraints with that. I'm assuming a little bit here, but I'm sure that was the intent with if Quering also purchased the property north, because that could have potentially been, another street or two, and it could have lined up with the existing development,
right.
Extend, the street north of that. So with the lot size that it is right now, you wouldn't be able to construct a full street on there and meet lot requirements for a 6,000 square foot home.
Mm.
Yeah, because the depth just with this was a little over 100 feet, and you need 50 feet for the street. So it would be, the lots may not necessarily meet those requirements. And there was a discussion of maybe having it be a planned unit development where it's a private one-way street or something like that, but ultimately this is what Quering went through.
So bottom line, there were some constraints if they did the 6,000.
Yeah, if they wanted to continue the subdivision. Yeah, they did. They just didn't have enough land for it.
And very, very early on in the process, representative of the developer did state that they had approached the property owner to the north and that there was not interest in selling, so they, you know, what they had was all that they were going to have to work with.
And that lot is similar?
That lot...
Actually, it's
or is
larger.
That the L-shape?
It's larger.
It's bigger,
it is bigger,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a homestead on it right now, excuse me, and then the body shop, there's a body shop north of
right,
it too. Yeah.
Body shop.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But that's vacant, right?
I think it is right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We closed up?
I heard it did, yeah.
It looks like it did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I drive by there quite a bit, and I haven't seen any activity or anything there right now, yeah.
Interesting. From a and this has nothing to do with it, but from a marketing standpoint, it would be interesting to see how viable it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, that's my only, it's not a concern, just a more question.
Commissioner Bracelis, any questions?
None.
Concern? I only have one. should another developer come and buy the rest of that land for some reason?
That's north of the property?
To the north of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The remainder of that property. Mm-hmm. Is Quirin liable for any portion of a street that they would need to put in? Or, because the city isn't going to build the street. So it
probably
would be
not.
Up to the, so is he liable for that? Is he obligated, I should say, to partake in the cost? Because you would have to put a street if you're going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you extend Sasaki, then a future developer could just continue the line of houses there. And yeah, so at this point, I would say probably not, because the street would serve the
other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause it would just be the side yards of these proposed lots. So likely not. There could be some agreement down the road, potentially. It would probably be more of a volunteer thing. But if someone were to develop that, they would be responsible for the street.
Because he's met all the requirements. Once you ask him to do certain things, he's met the requirements for two lots,
mm-hmm.
not several lots.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
How many lots could you get in there? The same amount that are on the south?
Probably six.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we ran the math on it, you could fit six if you had the additional
street, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the additional width needed for the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if someone were to complete, yeah, if someone were to complete this, oh no, that would fit, yeah. But yeah, it would be about six with all the right of way dedications and everything, yeah.
Just curious if he pushed forward with for the six lots,
mm-hmm.
and. That street had to go in, right? It would have to go in, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you would need property from the property from the north.
Correct.
That's eminent domain? Or could it be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that type of instance, the city would not move forward in with eminent domain unless there were some very, very specific reason that was associated with the public need or public
right.
good.
So in other words, the desire to do six isn't enough to move
right,
forward.
Yeah, and the city's stance as it should be on any type of taking like that is not going to happen for the benefit of a private development.
Yeah, it would have to be the property owner to the north would have to be willing to sell that amount of right-of-way for a street, or excuse me, that amount of property to construct a street, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
And I think the homestead on that property is probably 20 or 30 feet away from this property, too, so that even if they were to want to construct a street, they'd have to tear down the house.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts, commissioners? Okay, since this is a public hearing, we'll open it up for a public hearing. And,
sure.
We have none, so we will close the public hearing.
Okay.
And I will repeat the actions that we're to approve. Approve environmental assessment number. I can do this as one, can I not?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, they're both under one resolution, 2018-4. So if you wanted to just read the resolution title,
okay.
That would include both.
Okay, okay.
I have one more. I do have a question.
Sure.
Have we ever done this scenario before where we, because of the constraint of street space, that we've headed out toward existing streets instead of what would be the norm? Have we ever done this somewhere in town?
In terms of the size of the lot or the streets?
The access to either one of these homes being on the side versus just normal, like a street on the front side.
Oh,
have
right.
we ever done that because of whether it's this reason or maybe another drawback because we had something underground or something like that.
Mm-hmm. This is pretty unique in the fact that there are two streets fronting onto it, because otherwise, if it was just one, we'd be getting into easements, cross access agreements. It would get a lot messier. Yeah. I don't recall this happening in other spots, because they haven't really been that lucky in this instance, that there are two streets for access for them.
Many times in some older areas of cities, you can see some unique instances like this. I can't think of any direct examples in the city of Reedley that would be in line with what this one is here. It's not completely uncommon to see, but for us it is.
Okay.
This is the first time in my career, actually, that I'll be looking at one that has this. But I know that you will see some interesting setups in some older downtown areas.
Can they come back? No, you answered that. Thank you.
Okay, so we will vote on resolution 2018-4, and that's to approve environmental assessment 2018-4, determining the vested tentative parcel map application, and number 2017-1, which is exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 153.15 and 153.32 of the CEQA guidelines. B, approve the vesting tentative parcel map application number 2017-1, requesting the authorization to subdivide one parcel into two parcels of land for single family residential purpose, located on the west side of South Frankwood Avenue, north of the intersection of South Frankwood Avenue and West Lilac. So with that, listen for your motion and your wishes, commissioners.
I so move to approve.
One second.
Okay. Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Chairperson Perez?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners.
Pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, who's going to give us the director's report?
We actually have one more item.
One more item before we move to that. Item number three.
Yeah. I hope that was okay. on the agenda.
I'm sorry, you're right.
No, that's okay.
Consideration of 2017 annual progress report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Element through resolution 2018-3. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action: recommend a City Council of the City of Reedley adopt the 2017 annual progress report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Element, which was attached to this package right here.
It was.
So, commissioners, any concerns, questions?
No.
Yeah, if I could, Chairperson, this is just something that we do every year, so I hope it looked somewhat familiar. It's just showing implementation of our general plan. Not only with, it provides a list of projects that have been approved, planning permits that have been approved, and then it goes over the housing element as well, and building permits that have been pulled. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Thought you had something to add there. So this is just something that we do every year that's required by the state, just to check up on our reporting, and they're definitely paying attention to housing and whether houses are being built, apartments, all those sorts of things, so that we can meet our regional housing needs assessment numbers. So if you look at the housing report, It just mentions building permits that are issued at that time, so they still could be under construction, you know, during 2018, but the building's permits were pulled in 2017, so they count for the last calendar year. And so that still means we can still meet RENA numbers by having adequate amounts of zoning for housing as well. Not just building permits, but it's just showing that there are actually houses being built instead of the availability. There are the option that housing can be built. So it includes a little bit of both for that. So yeah, if anyone has any specific questions about the report, happy to answer.
Any questions, folks? I have one. Where do we stand with the criteria that's that comes from the state with regards to apartment housing for underprivileged or lower, what are they, what would
Low income?
Low income.
Yeah. So as far as the RENA numbers are in the chart, so let me, it's Exhibit C, so it is towards the end. Oh, wait, just kidding, it's not. It's the table in blue that's right here. So the table A shows what was built this year, which has only been single family homes. And then if you go to table B, shows since we adopted our last housing element, which was in 2015. So 2015 was when a Paseo 55 building permits were issued. So those do show up there. So so we have 55. Our total remaining RENA number is still 338 for very low, 204 units for low, 146 for moderate, and 547 for above moderate. So we are we're building some units, but the number would be reached by 2023, and what also counts is if we have land zoned for multifamily.
So what is that criteria at this point from the state?
The criteria is the total remaining RENA. So it's a quantity that we have to meet.
1235?
That is total. 338 would be very low. 204 would be low. So if you look above that number, it breaks it down.
Just at that right now?
Yeah, so well, right now we are actually at 76 total. Uh-huh. And the requirement that they give amongst all of the various categories is the 1,235. And I think it would be really important to point out here that the discussion for the Regional Housing Needs Allocation, or commonly referred to as RENA, as that acronym, all throughout the state, that is looked at by local agencies as a very, unfortunately, unrealistic number. 1,235 units for a community the size of Reedley is not realistic.
As I was looking at, if we're at 76 here for the first 3 years completion,
right,
and this is what we have left, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, there just is no
correct
available land for what this is stating.
It's been a hot topic for a long time and is boiling over, I think, more now than it has been easily for the last 5 or 6 years at the state level. As the RENA process, when it was first implemented, many of the local agencies, even though the numbers were very far beyond what anyone was actually capable of building or even that the market itself was supporting to build, it was the carrot and the stick approach. Everything about the state was, these are the recommendations, this is what we want to see you guys working toward. So many of the local agencies would go through the effort of showing that they at least have the land zoned for these type of items, and if the market's going to support this, that they have the land for it. Over the last couple of years, it's moved more and more toward, now they're putting teeth to these items, and there's discussions about certain funding criteria and funding mechanisms that you will not be eligible for if you haven't, if you're not meeting your RENA numbers. And every single community in the state has not met these. And so now you have many, many people going to Sacramento and saying, now wait a minute. If
there's no funding, if
you're going to have those regulations attached to it, then your methodology needs to be within reason.
Well, it needs to be attainable.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where those discussions are right now. So what you're seeing from here, actually, to be honest, 55 units for very low in a community our size puts us in the upper echelon of attaining well. Again, comparing apples to apples for communities our size across the state. But the whole RENA discussion is still very much ongoing, and I think you guys will be hearing a lot more about it in the couple years to come.
Okay. Any further discussion, commissioners? If not, I will open this up to the a public hearing. And if there is none, we will close the public hearing. And we will vote on the 2018-3 resolution recommending that the City Council of City of Reedy adopt the 2017 Annual Progress Report for the Reedy General Plant and Housing Element. I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we make that recommendation to the council.
Second.
I would like to second that, please.
Okay.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chairperson Perez?
Yes.
Thank you, commissioners.
Is there anything other, is there any other business? Okay. So
except for
I'll
the
turn this over back to you folks for a director's report.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to go over a couple items with you guys, give you some updates on some items that are happening around town, some things to be expected. Just this past Tuesday, the what's called the license agreement, which is the lease and the MOU for the Faith House, which had come before the Planning Commission in the recent past, was going to the City Council. Council Member Beck requested that the item be delayed until the next meeting for two reasons. One, there was an outstanding question that he had about the grant itself and wanted some legal clarification from the city attorney on that. A question that he had just before the meeting started and felt he didn't have enough time to get the clarifying answer for that. And Councilmember Fast was also an excused absence attending a family wedding out of the state. And he felt that for an item that had had so much political attention to it, he wanted to have all the council members present there to consider the item. So March 27th would be the date that would be going to the council again next for their consideration of that topic. And I would just like to point out, we talked a lot about during the CUP process the additional council-approved requirements for a lease for use of the facility and the memorandum of understanding that would oversee the actual operations and how that would take place. To make sure that it was something that administratively could be addressed in the most efficient and transparent manner, we elected to put both of those items together in one document, and it's called the license agreement. So if you hear us refer to the license agreement, that is nothing more than section one being the lease, section two being the memorandum of understanding, so that everything is contained in one singular document. And it'll be easier to maintain and to oversee that way. So if you hear that terminology, that's where that one came from. Also wanted to let you know that the Municipal Service Review, commonly referred to as the MSR process, is something that is taking a considerable amount of Ellen and I's effort. Right now, that is the process that we have to go through with the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, or LAFCO. And that is in order to accommodate any annexation activities. The MSR process used to be, we just simply show them, here's how we could provide services, here's our general plan policies, here's the growth areas that we're intending to go into. And it was a fairly straightforward process. Like many processes over the years, it's had more and more regulation built into it more and more attention given to it. So it's extremely intense, but the reason why it's so important is because without a valid MSR in place with Fresno LAFCO, the city of Reedy cannot deal with any annexation activities. And we are right now just over 90% of capacity within the existing city limits, which is a very good thing. That's a very intentional thing that the city has worked on. It's a general plan policy to concentrate on your infill development before you start talking about annexation activities. That runs everywhere from just good stewardship of your land, environmental protection, ag protection, all the way down to supporting property values. From all angles, a very good thing, but the MSR is very, very intense, I think that you'll be hearing a lot more about it in the next year or two as we're trying to work through that, because we do have about five or six developments that are interested in coming into the city that all require annexation because of the fact that we have done so well with our infill. So just wanted to make sure that you guys had the update on that one. Also, I'm sure you guys have noticed that the Reedy Pool demolition has taken place. So it's everything is just bare land there right now. So the Luke Trimble Splash Pad, which is what the replacement park there is going to be called, it's actually was out to bid in the last couple of weeks. The bids closed, and everything came back considerably higher. And they think that they identified the one reason that all of the bids, they had one interesting item in common, one vendor that was involved in all of them, and it actually ran the price up for all of the bids there. So they are going back out to bid again, and are going to have some additional requirements in the bid to ensure that that's not going to happen again, and we're going to be able to remain within the budget that we have allocated for the project. We do not believe that has the potential at this time to adjust the overall schedule for the park. And we are still on a timeline associated with the grants that go along with it as well. So we're working with the state agencies right now to make sure that all of those things are going to be covered appropriately. Shouldn't see any big any big changes there. However, if it did seem like things weren't, all of a sudden they were a little bit of a standstill, that's the reason why, just going back out to bid. There's construction at I and 7th, which I'm sure that all of you guys have noticed as well. Yep. There was one day where all of I between 7th and 8th was closed down. That was when they were putting in the median there that was going to restrict left turns from 7th Street onto I Street, which was just a safety issue because of the visibility and the fact that you're crossing
right
four lanes. Yeah, it's a preemptive item. Many, many times in traffic engineering, you can't do anything as the city until there's accidents that have happened and there's data that would support that. We try to be very, very proactive with any type of safety issue, and thank goodness the city staff there and the administration was able to move forward with something because of how many close calls we knew that we had at that intersection. The entire road was closed off for almost a full day when the contractor there accidentally hit a water line, and it did create a few hour delay and some challenges there, but that has been completely repaired and they remain on schedule for that one. The Sun Pacific expansion that you guys had discussed here in the recent past as well, they're getting closer and closer to being able to actually pull their permits. So all of the reviews, the plan and permitting review is close to complete now, and they will be hopefully pulling permits here in the near future. Undergrounding on Reed Avenue is approximately 80% done. You'll still see crews out there little by little. They may close down a portion of a lane here and there as they're still dealing with getting the items relocated from up off the poles down into the underground. When that is completed, that's when you'll start seeing the reconstruction on Reed Avenue take place as well. So that's going to be one of those projects that feels like it's under construction for a decade. they're very good things, good things for the community. And so despite the fact that there is that impact that it has to the day-to-day lives, things are moving along according to schedule, thank goodness. And then the last thing would be the city has been successful in receiving a Sustainable Agricultural Land Conservation Program grant. That was something that we applied for last year. We did receive that grant, and that is directly related to the implementation activities for the general plan. One of the implementation or mitigation measures was to implement an ag preservation policy and program. And so we went after that grant in order to undertake those activities, and we're successful in getting that grant, and we will be beginning those activities in July. So July 1, right when the fiscal year begins, we'll be going out for consultant assistance on that one, and Ellen and I will start working on that one and have some fun with that project as well.
What does that entail?
So most of what it looks at is how you want to organize the program for your individual agency when it comes to agricultural mitigation activities. So those can range anywhere from the state. There's some areas that have high as 6-to-1 ratio. So if somebody comes in and they're going to build something and it's going to impact agricultural land, they have to be able to show that they will protect, save, purchase, something of that nature, 6-to-1 ratio for what they're going to bring in. The recommendation that the city of Reedley had within their general plan was a 1-to-1 ratio. So that would be the protection of that. That can be done by someone entering into a covenant that their land would remain as agricultural land. They could put dollars equating up to that same amount into a trust to be able to be utilized in other areas of the state. So it's going to be discussions of here are the various activities that you can undertake to protect agricultural land. How does the city of Reedley want to organize this program for us? And then eventually you would work it into an actual general plan policy, and then it would be part of your development procedures.
For expansion purposes?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
Yep, so it's a very relevant topic, obviously, to the Central Valley and to our region in specifically. So there's some really good content that the state has, I think, to get us started as far as here's what all of the agencies do. And a lot of good things for us to be able to pick from and really to say, this is what we'd like to see and this is what we wouldn't like to see. So that's where those discussions will begin.
What about the activity on, where would it be, Frankwood? No, Frankwood and Reed, the Menominee property? That's Button Willow.
Button Willow, Manny.
Button Willow, isn't it? Yeah. Button Willow.
Blossom Trail? Is that the...
No, the Menominee property? On the way out of town, Manning and...
Yeah, right across from...
Manning to Button Willow, just past Save Mart.
Save Mart, or Rite Aid.
Yes. On the opposite side of the road?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. So we have the United Health Centers, of course, has been coming in, and they've been working on their parcel map there. The MSR ties into that one as well because obviously that requires annexation. So we anticipate that will likely be the first annexation project out of the gate. And they are currently working right now on their master plan. And we're coordinating everything with engineering. They've gone through their various traffic studies and all of those items. So we're working on getting their application completed, getting the annexation teed up and ready to go.
What do they do?
United Health Centers is going to have a medical clinic right there on the corner.
Is that the five? That's just the only allocation for that, the five-acre parcel?
The total project, their master plan area, is much bigger than what they're going to build. But the intent there, of course, is for them to build their clinic, and then they're going to sell off the remainder portion of it to other development.
So they'll own
the whole thing then?
You know, it's for now. Yeah, they do right now.
So
and there's
they bought whatever they were selling?
They bought 19 acres.
Okay.
It's I can't remember exactly. Maybe about 350 feet along Button Willow. The majority of the properties on Manning
Avenue. Yeah.
So
right.
It's all the way.
But the Menominees don't own anything further there then.
No.
They split the parcel in half.
Oh, they did.
UHC owns along Manning, and then the Menominees still own what's north of that.
Okay.
So a little bit north of. Actually, the 19-acre piece will be in line with Save Mart. So if you just go all the way to the right, UHC owns all of the south part, the southern part. Menominees still owns the northern part.
Okay.
United Health, are they the ones in Orange Cove?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And Parlier.
Has their big.
And Parlier.
And Parlier, yeah. I'm assuming that is going to be what it might look like.
Yeah.
That one in Parlier, what they are proposing here.
Yeah, they're pretty stable.
Are they just a clinic type thing? They're not a hospital then.
No, they're just
a clinic.
Yes. Just a clinic.
Okay. Yeah, they actually are in the Save Mart Shopping Center right now, and they're doing so well that they want a clinic.
Yeah, busted at the seams.
Yeah, because the space in Save Mart's probably only a couple thousand square feet, so they want a large.
There where the Union Bank or the bank was before. Is that where they're in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's next to Pirate Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the corner, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think their building will be close to five times the size of where they are right now. Is that right?
Mm. Yep.
Okay.
And I believe that we will see them sell that off to other developers because they have made the comment before that they're not interested in being in the business of being landlord. Mm. They're healthcare providers, and that's what they want to be able to concentrate on. But fully understood that in order to get this development going forward, that it needed to be bigger than just that right now.
Mm. Darn it, I want a crazy chicken to come in there too.
You know,
call your local.
I've been pushing for Wendy's, maybe someday,
Wendy
and Deli Delicious for Ellen.
Oh, yes. that is awesome! I've experienced that the last 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. Have you gone
Very,
there?
Yeah, our daughter took us. Yeah.
Oh my!
Hadn't really gotten attached to it, but when she took us, I went.
Oh yes,
Jessica.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, not something that you'd say marginal.
Yeah,
very, very, very nice.
Yes, very good. Okay.
So are they, it's 19 acres, 20 acres that they bought. What can it be parceled off to?
Well, it's all commercially zoned, so it would be commercial type of activities.
Minimally of, is there a certain minimum that it could be parceled to?
There is. I'd have to go look at size-wise what they could put in there.
Yeah. Size-wise.
Yeah, I'd have to pull up the zoning code and see exactly what it is. But
they're on 5 themselves?
Yeah, yes. They're on 5 acres, yeah. Yeah, it'll depend, because if it's going to turn into a shopping center type thing, mm-hmm. you know, if they sell it to somebody that may want to do that, then the parcelization might be a little different. If I remember correctly, commercial, there aren't a lot of limitations for that, so you could really just kind of box it all off.
You could, like if this crazy, what do you call it?
Crazy chicken.
Crazy chicken comes in, they could buy an acre.
It'll get trickier when you go, you know, when it's not along the street. So that's something that we'd have to keep an eye on. Mm. Because you still
have to have all the...
You need to have access to get to the back of that parcel from Bunwell or Manning. And the only way to do that is to have it be a shopping center. Okay. Yeah, we have the master plan there.
So they had to master plan it in order to do what they did.
In order to annex.
Yeah, to do the annexation.
Yeah. That's a good corner.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, future agenda items.
So
how do we look?
So it's highly unlikely we will have anything on April 5th. I think the variance will be postponed. Annexation, pre-zone, and site plan, so that is UHC, so hopefully it might be the 19th, that'd be a stretch, but I would appreciate if you could keep April 19th and May 3rd open, the timeline to get the rest of it processed.
I need to schedule my 3-week trip first part of April, and that's a big concern for me, so mm-hmm. I think from what I'm hearing, I think I'm safe to take the first 3 weeks of April off?
Yes. Yeah, well, I think, April 19th will be the
third week. The first 3 weeks of April takes you to the 21st. Yeah. And that...
So that might... So you may get your first chairmanship.
Because
I've got to take it... I think the safest thing for me to do is to go ahead and go with the first 3 weeks or so. I kind of feel that I'll be okay. I don't know.
We can talk about that a little bit. It's because it's more likely that it will.
Okay.
I'm not going to sweat it, but we could always conference you in just because we know Ellen can handle that stuff.
I'll certainly try.
Hey, how would that work?
Is that a possibility
in case that we didn't have a quorum and we didn't want to postpone? Is conferencing something that we could consider?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
How would Pete look on TV?
Well, we have time to work on it. We could just project him up there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a phone here, so...
Yeah, that's interesting. During my time at Fresno Cog, it was not uncommon for board members on various boards there to conference call in, but that's typically because it was a regional or sometimes even statewide.
Much larger.
I'd be curious to know if the same rules would apply for local. I'll ask the city attorney about that.
Yeah.
So we know.
Curious.
Pete, I can find out either tomorrow or Monday.
Oh, that would be super because I haven't scheduled it yet, but I was waiting till our meeting here to kind of find out where we stood.
Okay.
That would be super.
Because I have a deadline to meet myself, so if we need to postpone it, I will let you know very soon.
Oh, that's awesome. Any further business, commissioners, staff? This meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.